Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind.
And we're joined on a Friday edition of The Scoop by Dan Slabov on the Prowl. Dan, the playoff preview segment. We've never had an opportunity to do this on The Scoop. And as a result of the Timberwolves beating Denver on Wednesday night, we now get to look ahead to the postseason. So I got to say that feels pretty good despite the opponent, and I'm sure you feel the same.
It feels absolutely phenomenal, Seth. Last night, I loaded my laptop, and I opened up a Word doc, and I started typing my first playoff preview series ever, and it felt pretty freaking good, not going to lie. It was long overdue, and I'm excited. I mean, I know the Wolves are playing. It's probably the one team they don't want to match up with and don't match up well against, but the Wolves are in the playoffs for the first time, and as a lot of people know, 14 years, and because of that, you know, I'm excited, and I think just the entire state of Minnesota needs playoff basketball, regardless of the outcome.
Yeah, I would definitely agree, and it took an instant classic type of game for the Wolves to get to this point. They had to beat the Denver Nuggets and did so in overtime on Wednesday, and just an unbelievable game, Dan. So many clutch plays, so many clutch moments, and really I think the most exciting part of it was that you had Jimmy Butler, who was brought in to win games like this, who had 31 points and really took control in the second half. But you also had Karl-Anthony Towns, who had his first real taste of a must-win game, and he responded as well. So it was great to see guys stepping up to the plate and really coming through with an all-time clutch performance against a very hot Denver team coming into Wednesday.
Absolutely, and it would have been a historic comeback performance from Denver, not just in the game, but you know, in the final 2 weeks of the season. They had 1-6 straight coming into Target Center, and Towns and Butler and Taj Gibson and Andrew Wiggins and their big-time players really delivered, and really, you know, avoided a catastrophic end of the season for Minnesota. So, obviously, just a massive win for the Wolves against a hot Denver team. And, you know, Karl-Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler, they played like drought killers. And then, of course, Andrew Wiggins, 64% free throw shooter, goes to the line and drills the two biggest free throws of his life to make the game a two-possession game, and it was just an unbelievable atmosphere at Target Center, and I'm sure we'll get to see at least two more games of that electric atmosphere versus the Rockets.
Yeah, Houston is the foe starting Sunday. They were the number one team in the Western Conference for basically the entire season. Golden State had it for a couple of weeks, but then they got hurt progressively and just were never able to get back on top. Houston, as we've talked about quite a bit, just so deep, so versatile. And like you said, Dan, it seems like this was the one team that the Wolves did not really match up that well against, just because of what Houston excels at is exactly what the Timberwolves have struggled against defensively. But you talked about the massive preview that you did for the series starting on Sunday. I had a chance to catch a sneak peek of it. But let's dive in to this series. And just right off the top of the bat, just give me some of your initial thoughts as the Wolves get ready to take on the Rockets.
Well, first and foremost, you're going to see great offense versus bad defense. Houston will be throwing the NBA's best offense at a Minnesota team that struggled defensively all season. In four regular season games against Minnesota this season, Houston scored 130 points per 100 possessions, which is otherworldly, and that's just a complete beatdown of an opponent. I mean, you know, as looking at NBA.com, the highest number of points per 100 possessions this season went to the Golden State Warriors at 112.3. So the Rockets are scoring 18 more points per 100 possessions than the best team in the NBA this season. Best offensive team in the NBA this season versus the Timberwolves in 2018. So, you know, it's going to be an uphill battle, and the only way the Wolves can, you know, obviously make it a series is if they flip the switch on defense and they do it right from game one tip. So that is obviously just a huge storyline and one that will probably, prevent Minnesota from making this a series because of, you know, how much Minnesota struggled defensively and how elite the Houston Rockets offense is. So that is one of the storylines I'm going to be, you know, paying attention to. And then, of course, the Rockets are so deep, you know, when, you know, they, you know, their bench is filled with offensive weapons, and that's headlined by Eric Gordon, who allows Houston to rest one superstar without sacrificing much shooting or playmaking, which is just a massive advantage to Houston. And, you know, the Wolves don't really have, you know, that kind of piece off the bench. I mean, Jamal Crawford, when he gets hot, is the closest they have to somebody like Eric Gordon. And, you know, even that being said, not many teams do have Eric Gordon to come off the bench. And the Rockets are so good on offense because they have all these three-point shooters surrounding Chris Paul and James Harden and Clint Capela down low. But they're also good defensively because they got all these good wings with good size who can switch on absolutely everything, which is, you know, I think they realize is the key to beating Golden State with their size. Luka Mbamute, who dislocated his shoulder on Tuesday, I believe, he sustained an injury, so he won't be available for the first round of the series, which should be a boost, be a help for the Wolves, you know. But otherwise, they're fully healthy, and the Wolves have a tall task in front of them.
Dan, looking at something that will be very intriguing is the starting five for the Timberwolves, who we expect will see plenty of minutes, not only in game one, but also throughout the rest of the series, versus the quote-unquote starting five for the Houston Rockets. And I use the quotes because, as I alluded to, the depth is just unreal for the Rockets. Losing Mbamute will hurt them a little bit, but I think it'll be something they can definitely overcome. But it's going to be interesting to see how these starting groups match up, because we won't see much of Houston's starting five because they can go so deep that they throw a lot of different looks at you in order to try to exploit mismatches.
Absolutely. And after doing my research for my article, I found that the Rockets have three different lineups that have scored 100, that have played over 130 minutes and have scored 119 or more points per 100 possessions, which is absolutely ridiculous and seems quite unfair, if you ask me. they're phenomenal. And, you know, like you said, Luka Mbamute will, they're going to need a guy like him when they play the Warriors or even in the semifinals when they match up against the Thunder or the Jazz. But right now, against the Timberwolves, I think they can get by without Mbamute, considering how deep they are. We'll definitely see more of Joe Johnson now that Mbamute is hurt. Yeah, Houston's just so versatile, and they can throw all these sorts of lineups at you, and I'm sure Sibs is obviously following his office right now, game planning and scheming ways to try to prevent Houston from scoring 120-plus points per game, because if the regular season was any indication, that's probably what they're going to do. In the Wolves starting lineup, their starting five can play with anybody, so that really is not a huge, you know, concern for the Wolves. It's more can they elevate their defensive energy to a point where they can make life tough for Houston? And if they can, then, you know, then it, we could get some good games in this series. But that is the one and only way that the Wolves can turn this into a competitive series. And it's a playoff, so, you know, all these guys should be coming out with a lot of energy, and if they don't, then obviously there's something wrong. So, you know, I think yeah, I mean, the Wolves should come out with a lot of energy. I mean, any playoff team does. So, how that affects their defense and defensive communication is you know, to be seen. But if you're a Wolf fan and hoping, you know, for a miracle, then just, you know, hope that with the playoffs comes, you know, elevated energy, and elevated energy will bring a better defensive effort from the Wolves, which would in turn make, you know, this a series. So that'd be the one thing I could tell Wolf fans to cling on to.
Just looking at some of those matchups, and obviously for the Wolves, they'll have at points they'll have the Jeff Teague Chris Paul matchup, the James Harden Jimmy Butler matchup, the Karl-Anthony Towns Clint Capella matchup. Is this a situation where Andrew Wiggins needs to win his battle, regardless of who he is facing at the three? If he's going up against Trevor Ariza or any of those other wing players, is it critical for the Wolves that he consistently win the battle against whoever is guarding him?
It is, and I'm guessing D'Antoni and the Rocket coaching staff is going to try to shut down Wiggins. I think if they can shut down Wiggins, then, you know, the primary playmakers they'll have to deal with is Towns and Butler, and of course Jeff Teague is a solid playmaker at point guard. But if you can take out Wiggins, the Rocket chances are looking even better. So and because of that, I think Wiggins will see a lot of different guys on him defending him throughout the series. PJ Tucker, Trevor Ariza, Joe Johnson, and they have, you know, an array of defensive guys that they can switch on to Wiggins and, you know, bother Wiggins offensively. So Wiggins has a tough task ahead of him, considering the Rockets just have a plethora of 3-and-D wings who excel on defense and have the size to bother Wiggins' shot and have the strength to prevent Wiggins from driving. So, you know, Wiggins, who is blessed physically, you know, and he's got a great physique, you know, one that can get to the lane and, you know, finish at the rim. Great athleticism, obviously. He can also, he can make life rough for Houston's defense as well. So it really, Wiggins showing up and playing like, you know, bringing his best to this series would be huge for the Wolves. And so the Wolves really need everything to go right for them this series. So that is a must for sure.
Just looking at the rest of the NBA playoffs as well, you've got other matchups such as Golden State, San Antonio, Portland is taking on New Orleans, and then maybe my favorite non-Timberwolves Rockets matchup in the Western Conference, the Utah Jazz taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Because I made mention a week ago that the three teams that I would not want to have to match up against if either in the Eastern or Western Conference was Golden State when fully healthy, which they expect to be in the next round and maybe into the Western Conference Finals, Houston, and then the Utah Jazz, who have been on an absolute tear here over the past month plus. Dan, in terms of the other series in the Western Conference, which one, other than Wolves-Rockets, intrigues you the most?
I'm with you, Seth, and I think that's what most NBA fans will have their eyes cling towards this weekend, besides Wolves-Rockets. You know, with Utah and Oklahoma City, you have a team of basketball players with, you know, great synergy and great chemistry versus, you know, an array of superstar power in Oklahoma City. And, you know, just because of that and the storylines involved with this series, you know, you have Donovan Mitchell, a potential rookie of the year, trying to, you know, lead his team as a primary offensive option to the playoff semifinals, which is unreal. And then you have, you know, Oklahoma City, you know, obviously Russell Westbrook, averaged a triple-double again this year. Paul George, his last year of his contract, so You know, how they do in the playoffs this year could affect his decision this offseason, whether he goes to Los Angeles or elsewhere or stays in Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook and signs maybe another one-year deal. You know, the series is filled with storylines, and, you know, otherwise than that, you know, you have a Pelicans team who's going to be Pelicans versus the Warriors. Pelicans versus the Trailblazers, that's going to be another fun series considering the Pelicans are going to be, they're obviously thrilled to be in the playoffs right now. They're going to bring their best effort, and Anthony Davis is a top, you know, 5-6 player in the NBA. And, you know, we've seen the Warriors have trouble with big men such as Karl Anthony Towns this year. So Anthony Davis should give them fits. You know, it's going to be, yeah, I don't think the Pelicans are going to win the series, but I think they can give them some close games and maybe punch the Warriors in the mouth for a game and steal one. You know, otherwise than that, I mean, you know, the Warrior Spurs is kind of the, you know, it's a series where obviously it would be much more competitive if Kawhi Leonard was healthy and on the court. But for now, obviously the Warrior star power, you know, should best San Antonio, even if San Antonio is playing the San Antonio way. But yeah, obviously San Antonio probably did not want to get matched with Golden State in the first round, and that is who they got matched up with. I think to be honest, they might have rather matched up with San Antonio or with Houston, considering the recent success they've had versus that team. But yeah, so you know, a really fun slate of first round series is in the West, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Dan, in the Eastern Conference, is it a foregone conclusion at this point that the Cleveland Cavaliers will be in the finals, or does a team like Toronto have a legitimate chance to upset them, knock them off, and head to the finals from the East? Basically, who do you like?
You know, it's interesting. I was more sold on the Raptors 3 weeks ago than I am now. They were rolling, and then they kind of treaded water the last 3 weeks of the season. Kind of went away from their game. I don't know if that's because they were, you know, they could have been getting, I don't know, bored with the regular season. But some teams, I do think, get a little struggle to motivate in some regular season games. So, you know, we'll really see what kind of Toronto team is going to show up to the playoffs in game one this weekend. You know, if I was a gambling man, I would bet on the Cleveland Cavaliers just because, you know, LeBron James not being in the finals, it's like, and I don't think LeBron James isn't going to the finals until he gets bounced. So, you know, the Cavs offense is still really, really good. Kevin Love returning has boosted the five-man starting lineup for Cleveland. And obviously, when you have the best player in the NBA, LeBron James, anything is possible. And, I mean, the Cavs, you know, it's time to see if their trade deadline acquisitions will pay off. This is obviously winning time of the NBA season, and you know, besides that, you know, the two-seeded Boston Celtics have had a really rough stretch of injuries. Obviously, they're going into the playoffs with that Kyrie Irving, who's done for the season, and Gordon Hayward, who is not returning this season after that horrible injury in game one of the NBA season. You know, so they, you know, are coached by the brilliant man in Brad Stevens, who has implemented all these defensive schemes that have allowed them to stay atop the top three seed in the Eastern Conference throughout the year, even with an injury-depleted roster. So, they still have some nice pieces over there, but if I'm Boston, obviously I'm disappointed in that, you know, the team couldn't stay healthy, you know, for the, you know, remainder of the season and for the playoffs. Next year, Boston will look scary. with all their assets in Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving, Jason Tatum, Al Horford, Jaylen Brown. They're loaded for now and the future. So, yeah, I mean, if you're a Boston fan, you're just thinking next year at this point. I don't see a ton of other sleeper teams. I think actually Indiana and Cleveland, that first round series might be the best in the East. I think if Cleveland's defense doesn't wake up, they're in for a load of trouble, considering the Pacers are, they're a gritty team, and they have great chemistry over there. Victor Oladipo has molded into one of the best two-way players in the game. He will win Most Improved Player of the season. So he's a bona fide star in today's NBA. And, of course, they got a lot of quality pieces around him, and Derrick Collison, Thaddeus Young, and I believe they have Monte Ellis. They have a nice big that really, you know, can shut down the opponents defending big. So, you know, the Pacers are you know, a solid team, and that should be a fun series for sure. But that is pretty much my takes on the Eastern Conference first round slate.
Dan, as we kind of start to wrap up here today, a lot coming at On the Prowl. You mentioned the preview for the series that will be posted this weekend. What else can listeners expect to find over at On the Prowl as we gear up for Wolves Rockets?
Yeah, so tomorrow we will publish our regular season roundup, which will have our NBA award picks and a little playoff preview and predictions. Us six writers at On the Prowl will contribute, and you'll see our takes on the website this weekend. If you choose to go look, and this is a year where the award selections aren't quite as it's not quite as a toss-up. It's more, I think it's more set than in past years. So, you'll see different opinions on different picks, but that is definitely be something to look out for this weekend.
Excellent. Dan, great stuff as always. We anxiously await the start of the first Timberwolves playoff trip in 14 years. Despite it being against the top-seeded Houston Rockets, we're looking forward to it, and we'll break down how games 1 and 2 go when we talk again next week.
We will. Thanks, Seth.